You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Is a lack of omega-3 fatty acids in the American diet responsible for the current obesity crisis? This past September, I spoke to award-winning science writer Susan Allport about her article on omega-3s, which was published in that month's issue of Prevention magazine. In it, she linked the dramatic recent gains in weight, as well as the growing number of cardiac problems, directly to the near elimination of omega-3s from our food. Many listeners told us that they enjoyed that segment, and we decided to play it for you again in advance of your Thanksgiving Day meal. I began by wondering why, although we associate omega-3s with fish and fish oils, fish aren't the primary source of omega-3 fatty acids. And I asked her, where do they come from?
Well, that's the interesting thing, that omega-3s originate in the green leaves of plants, not fish, as most of us think.
So why are fish thought to be a great source of omega-3s?
Well, for several reasons. Fish require more omega-3s in their diets and tissues than terrestrial animals do, and also because they are indeed good sources of omega-3s, but have you ever wondered why it is that humans who evolved on the savannas of Africa now seem to require the nutrients in cold water fish? It's because we've made ourselves deficient in those omega-3 fats in an interesting way, because these omega-3s are one of the families of essential fats, and they originate in the green leaves of plants. But the interesting thing is that they compete for positions in our cell membranes with the omega-6s, which are much more prevalent in the seeds of plants.
Until recently, weren't beef, pork, and even eggs good sources of omega-3s? We're starting to see eggs with omega-3 added now, but why? What happened? Why did that change?
Oh, well, all eggs used to be rich in omega-3s when the chickens that laid them were foraging for themselves on greens and insects and other wild things. But now that they're being fed these seeds and seed oils, they're much richer in this second family of essential fats, these omega-6s.
And beef are being fed corn.
Beef are being fed corn and soy, and they're also now sources of omega-6 fats, not the omega-3s.
Now, what happens if we don't get enough omega-3s in our diet?
Well, we need them in every tissue in our body, but the most metabolically active tissues, the brain, the eyes, the heart, the sperm, require huge amounts of these omega-3s. So what happens is that you're seeing these large epidemics of depression, other mental disorders, infertility, heart disease, all the things that affect those fast-acting tissues.
You say arthritis as well.
Arthritis as well. That's the first
thing.
Insulin resistance. They're required in the membranes of every cell in our body, and they affect how the enzymes work in those membranes.
Weren't omega-3s at one time included as an ingredient in processed foods like cookies, chips, cakes, breads, spreads?
I think they
when
are,
did that change?
I think they are now being included, but at levels so low that they really don't make up for this essential imbalance in the fats.
You've explained in your article in Prevention and in your earlier book on the subject that the Western diet is not only deficient in omega-3s, but that it typically contains too many omega-6 fatty acids.
Yes, that's the
Omega-6s are contained in the vegetable oils that are used in most of our processed foods these days.
Exactly. As we went from using animal fats as a source of our dietary fats to using seed fats, which we thought was a very good idea at the time, we became deficient in these omega-3 fats. Because as I said before, that these two families of fats compete with each other for positions in our cell membranes, such that if your diet is rich in the second family, the omega-6s, your tissues are going to be deficient in those omega-3s.
But why have we seen this change? It's been promoted by the government, hasn't it?
Yes, well, you know, the seed oils, the vegetable oils, were found to decrease serum cholesterol. And serum cholesterol was once the big marker of risk for heart disease.
So when we started talking about not having a diet high in polyunsaturated
fats,
we were really talking about cutting omega-3s out of our diet?
Well, we didn't know we were doing that at the time. Omega-3s were recognized as being essential many decades after omega-6s were recognized as being essential. And essential means that we can't make these fats ourselves and that we have to consume them in our diet in order to have them.
So omega-6s were seen as being free of cholesterol and therefore better for our hearts than animal fats.
Exactly, exactly. But we didn't know at the time that by overwhelming our diets with those omega-6s, we were going to drive out the omega-3s.
Isn't there another problem in that omega-3s spoil in time?
That's another thing, that the omega-6s are really the darling of the food industry because they're so much less prone to oxidation or going rancid than these omega-3 fats. So it behooved them to eliminate the omega-3s.
When did scientists first discover that all of these omegas were not alike?
It's a gradual discovery. The first fats found to be essential were found to be essential in the 1930s. And then in the 1960s, scientists started discovering prostaglandins, which are those important cell messengers, and they found that cell messengers, whether they were made from these omega-3s or the omega-6s, acted very differently in the body. And then gradually it was found that omega-3s are concentrated in the brain and other active tissues. And then gradually it was found that they had different effects on heart disease.
And you point out that scientists have known since the early 1970s that omega-6s promote blood clotting and inflammation, which are two immediate and direct causes
yes.
of heart disease. And yet we are promoting the use of omega-6s.
Right, because those are essential fats, so you can't live without them. So it was thought that you just had to take the good with the bad. But now we know that what's been happening is that we're living without the omega-3s, and we definitely can't do that. This could be put an end to a great many of our chronic conditions.
My guest is Susan, am I pronouncing it right, Allport?
Allport.
And she's written an article called The Vanishing Youth Nutrient for the current issue of Prevention magazine. She also has a book called The Queen of Fats, Why Omega-3s Were Removed from the Western Diet and What We Can Do to Replace Them, which was published a couple of years ago by the University of California Press. Has much changed since this book was published?
Well, I see a growing recognition of the different effects of omega-3s and omega-6s. At the time I published the book, few people were even aware of what omega-6s were. And now I see that people...
When I go to buy eggs, there are any number of egg boxes that have in large type contains rich in omega-3s. So people are starting to pay attention. Does that mean that we're starting to see more omega-3s in our food again?
Well, what we have to do, the fundamental thing, is to decrease our omega-6 intake. We require them, as I said. We require even more of them than we do omega-3s, but we don't need the ratio that we have now, which is like 10 to 1 omega-6s to 3s.
This discovery of the importance of omega-3s reminds me of the discovery 100 years ago of how important iodine was to human development and health before iodine was added to table salt. And some people developed goiters on their necks, and children were put at risk for mental retardation. Is it possible that the omega-3 deficit that now exists in the Western diet could be overcome as simply as we overcame the other by simply putting iodine in iodized salt?
Not quite so simply, but almost, by replacing the vegetable oils that we're currently consuming to ones that have a much better ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, yes, I feel that we could address many of our chronic diseases.
You've written that it's useful to think of omega-3s as spring fats and omega-6s as fall fats. Can you explain that?
Yes, this was my contribution to the whole story of the omega-3s, which was that there's a biological rationale for why these two families of fats have such different effects, and that one, they help animals to prepare for the future, for periods of activity and reproduction when the fats of leaves, the spring fats, the omega-3 fats are available, and for periods of hunkering down and survival when the fats of the seed fats or the fall fats are more abundant.
So another way of saying that is omega-3s are associated with movement and expending energy, while omega-6s are associated with slowing down, storing fat, hibernation. I imagine that bears are full of omega-6s when they go into those caves.
Well, most researchers haven't controlled for the omega-3s and 6s in their research with hibernation, but there is one researcher who has, and he has found that the marmot, the yellow-bellied marmot, does not go into hibernation on an omega-3-rich diet. That animal has to switch to a diet rich in omega-6s before it will go into torpor.
What about, does it matter whether we live in colder climates or warmer climates?
I don't think that, yes, I think that the ideal ratio probably differs depending on what climate you're in.
So omega-3s in a colder climate, omega-6s perhaps in a warmer climate?
Perhaps, but we want to stay active all year round. So we're looking for that balance of the two facts that will keep us active.
So when we take in omega-6s as our main source of vegetable fats year round, are we sending our bodies the signal that we need to store fat for the winter?
Exactly. Through all kinds of mechanisms, through increased production of fat cells, through decreased activity of the insulin receptor, all kinds of mechanisms.
Is this something that just happens in this country? Because we hear about the advantages of the Mediterranean diet and Japanese diet. You've pointed out that mortality from heart disease goes up linearly with consumption of omega-6s. 50 deaths per 100,000 in Japan, 90 in Mediterranean countries, and 200 in the United States. Now, the Japanese eat a lot of fish. The Mediterranean diet is rich in olive oil. Does olive oil contain a lot of omega-3s?
Not that many omega-3s, but what the Mediterranean diet does have is that it's very rich in fish and greens and other things. So it's not the olive oil that's probably providing them the benefit, but the fact that they're not using a very high omega-6 vegetable oil, and they're consuming all those other good things.
So is this something that's just happening in the United States, or are we seeing?
No,
because
no,
we're talking about the Western diet.
All through the Western countries. Israel has a particularly high rate of these chronic diseases, and it has a very healthy diet as far as our USDA food pyramid goes. It's very high in vegetables and very high in fish, but it uses large amounts of these seed oils, and the people there are suffering from heart disease and obesity and insulin resistance and diabetes at a rate that's similar to ours.
A listener, Marion from Manhattan, says, can your guest discuss the presence of trans fats in our diet and whether that may interfere with our ability to use the omega-3s that we do get?
The trans fat story is very interesting, and it's linked to the omega-3 story in this way. When fats were partially hydrogenated that produced trans fats, that was a process that specifically eliminates the omega-3s in those fats, and that produces the trans fats and even more omega-6s. So the question is, and it's a question on which the health of the country depends, is it the absence of omega-3s in those fats that's causing our problems, or is it the presence of those trans fats and even more omega-6s? I would suggest that there are very well-defined mechanisms to suggest that it's the absence of those omega-3s.
My guest is Susan Allport, A-L-L-P-O-R-T, who's written widely on issues related to food and health, an article in the current issue of Prevention magazine about omega-3s and omega-6s called The Vanishing Youth Nutrient. There's also a book, The Queen of Fats, Why Omega-3s Were Removed from the Western Diet and What We Can Do to Replace Them. That is published by the University of California Press. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. Later in this hour, actor and playwright Wallace Shawn goes beyond appearances and describes what he sees as the deeper meanings of our everyday social interactions. And then we'll take a look at the links between cooking and human evolution. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.